You are on Radio Tacoma's Climate 360.
And I'm your host, John Doherty, where we take a 360-degree look at climate here and around the world in 360 seconds or less. So let's get right to it.
Mythbuster time.
One of the most persistent myths hiding in plain sight is the progressive myth that only those on the political right cleave to climate myths. Trust me, the left has plenty of myths too. For today, let's look at the myth that all we have to do is add clean energy sources and we'll be fine. First off, the notion of clean energy. There's no source of energy that doesn't have negative consequences for us and our environment. Sure, there are cleaner forms of energy than fossil fuels, and we have to be working towards those. But let's not fool ourselves into ignoring the negative consequences of every kind of energy in the amount needed for us to keep living as we are. And that myth shows up in part with environmental resistance to putting in long-distance electricity transmission lines. A just published report by the International Energy Agency, the IEA, assessing electricity grids around the globe found that meeting the climate goals set by the world's governments would require adding or refurbishing 50 million miles of power lines by 2040, an amount equal to the existing global grid in less than two decades. Yet here at home, it takes 10 to 20 years from proposal to completion of significant power transmission lines. Right now, there are more than 8,000 energy, wind, solar, and battery projects waiting for permission to connect to the electric grids. And they don't get permitted until they receive that permission. And to get that permission, the grid capacity must be built up. Most of the capacity we need doesn't exist yet, and that's due in part because of environmental group resistance coupled with not in my backyard. And the myth ultimately is that we can have clean energy without building more transmission infrastructure.
Good news, bad news.
So you decide, is this good news or bad news? There have been an increasing number of direct actions taken by climate activists around the world over the last couple of years. Such events include things like throwing tomato soup or smearing finger paints on the cases protecting rare art, or lying down on the freeway and blocking traffic, or gluing oneself to equipment to delay construction of things like pipelines. Opinions on that kind of effort vary widely, but there are two ramifications of note. Number one, industries like pipelines and mining are turning to friendly legislatures and law enforcement to make such protest activities more and more onerous. The clear purpose of such efforts is to stifle this kind of effort. And in the process, coming down harder and harder on protesters with the obvious goal of intimidating them into silence. A case in point, the activists who smeared finger paint on the case protecting a piece of sculpture at the National Gallery of Art in Washington, D.C., they're facing a conspiracy charge, conspiracy against the United States, and facing a potential prison term of 5 years and a $250,000 fine. Clearly a consequence way out of whack to whatever damage could be dreamed up. The second point, how much a person in the street rage results from such an inconsequential act, up to irritated individuals physically attacking protesters. In the meantime, a study published in the peer-reviewed journal Environmental Research found 8.7 million premature deaths per year attributed to fossil fuels. That's 23,835 fossil fuel-caused premature deaths every day. And according to a study by the Harvard School of Engineering, during the course of this six-minute program, 925 people died as a result of fossil fuel pollution. And where's the rage about that?
Quote for today.
Quote is from Jonathan Haidt, author of, among other books, The Righteous Mind, Why Good People Are Divided by Politics and Religion. Here's the quote. When we want to believe something, we ask ourselves, can I believe it? Then we search for supporting evidence, and if we find even a single piece of pseudo-evidence, we can stop thinking. We now have permission to believe. We have justification in case anyone asks. In contrast, when we don't want to believe something, we ask ourselves, must I believe it? Then we search for contrary evidence, and if we find a single reason to doubt the claim, we can dismiss it. That's the end of the quote. What does that mean? People who at this point are worried about climate change look for data that supports the validity of their worrying. People, for whatever reason, that believe climate change is not a concern are attracted to ideas that confirm their opinions. It doesn't have to be much Once minds are made up, a simple example would be the notion that peer-reviewed science can be dismissed because scientists are simply saying what they do because otherwise they wouldn't get any grant money. And this phenomenon of looking for something, anything, that supports an individual's point of view explains in part the current campaign of creating doubt about the seriousness of fossil fuel pollution. ExxonMobil has been in the forefront of encouraging people to think that there is scientific debate about the role of fossil fuels in climate change when no such debate exists. That Exxon has lied to us is beyond doubt. A study of their internal documents versus their public statements showed how clearly they have sought to deceive the public by sowing doubt. 83% of Exxon's peer-reviewed papers and 80% of internal documents acknowledge that climate change is real and human-caused, yet only 12% of their public outreaches do so, with 81% instead expressing doubt about the validity of climate science. And that's your Climate 360.